This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Remembering the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Wednesday, December 7, Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Today marks the 75th anniversary of Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. Hear how one vet survived the 1,800-pound bomb that would ultimately sink the USS Arizona.
The man selected to be the next Secretary of Defense gets a formal introduction in North Carolina. Hear the remarks from retired Marine General James Mad Dog Mattis.
As families still wait to hear on the fate of loved ones, investigators in Oakland are now pointing to a refrigerator as the possible cause of that deadly warehouse fire.
And why experts are predicting a drop in the number of high school graduates in the coming years.
There'll be a pretty significant decline in the number of kids coming out of high school around 2025, 26, and that'll last for a number of years. It's a direct result of people having less babies during the crash, during the Great Recession, and in the immediate aftermath.
Wall Street Journal reporter Doug Belkin on the shortening supply of high school grads. He's here in about 25 minutes. A lot of difficult memories come flooding back today for survivors of the attack on Pearl Harbor 75 years ago on this date. More than 2,300 service members died when the Japanese attacked. USA Today profiles a guy named Donald Stratton, a 94-year-old who survived the bombing of the USS Arizona. Flames seared his skin and burned his clothes. He escaped but suffered extensive burns. Here's what makes service members different, by the way. After recovering from the burns, he re-enlisted in the Navy and served through the end of the war. He is in Hawaii for today's ceremonies. Meanwhile, Rob Citino, historian with the National World War II Museum in New Orleans, spoke with ABC News.
It changed the country forever. It set the country on the path to global power and presented the country with a new set of problems that America still has not relinquished. We are in many ways still living with the global legacy of World War II.
Nearly 20 naval vessels and more than 300 airplanes were destroyed in Pearl Harbor. One of the destroyed, of course, was the USS Arizona battleship, which was hit by an 1,800-pound bomb. It subsequently exploded and sank with 1,000 men trapped inside. It's now a memorial in the harbor. PBS, by the way, debuted Pearl Harbor Into the Arizona, an inside look at the battleship's underwater remains in late November. It will air again this month, so check your local listings for dates and times. Again, it's called Pearl Harbor Into the Arizona. It's on PBS. It's an agonizing wait for family members of people still missing after the massive warehouse fire that killed at least 36 people in Oakland. And they were told yesterday that it could still be a few more days until they learn the fate of loved ones. 30 families have been notified so far. Alameda County Sheriff Sergeant Ray Kelly says a couple of the victims were found lying right next to each other, speculating they were trying to shield one another from the flames.
You know, we've found a lot of victims in the wreckage here that were holding each other and caring for each other as they waited to die.
One couple was found on top of one of seven RVs in the middle of the building. Meanwhile, the family of Nicholas Walrath told NBC News that they assume the worst after Nick texted his partner of 5 years, quote, fire, and quote, I love you, after saying he had attended the party at the warehouse. Meanwhile, investigators say Friday night's blaze may have started with a refrigerator. Investigators feel they may have some evidence to support that theory. Well, the warehouse that burned in Oakland was nicknamed Ghost Ship, as you might have heard. And while the focus is on what could have led to the deadly tragedy at that single location, that's not the only building where artists crowd together in that city in often dangerous conditions to live and work. San Francisco Chronicle reporter Rachel Swan saw an inspector visiting one this week called Death Trap. Rachel, what's it like in that warehouse area, and how many of these buildings are there?
When I was going through West Oakland and East Oakland, there were blocks where there appeared to be an inhabited warehouse, an inhabited rundown warehouse. Like the entire blocks were filled with these places, you know. So, I mean, by my estimate, it's probably hundreds. I don't think that anyone in the city really keeps tabs on this stuff, and a lot of the places are kind of perhaps not zoned for residential and kind of flying under the radar, so yeah. That makes it harder. But definitely there are blocks in West Oakland where there are just four buildings back to back that, you know, you can see curtains in the windows and plants and such that show that people are living there, but they're definitely not, you know, on the radar.
Holy cow. And these were like once functioning actual warehouses?
Yeah, my understanding is a lot of them were factories at one point. You know, I mean, Oakland had a lot of factories kind of like post-World War II going up through the 60s. I mean, a famous warehouse in Oakland, American Steel, used to be, you know, like a metalworks factory. And I think that got started right after World War II. You know, there used to be a warehouse that hosted a lot of parties called the Noodle Factory because it was a food a food place, and that was a giant warehouse in West Oakland that I actually remember going to for parties.
Oh, so. Goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
So this trend of these artist warehouses, then this is it just trendy for these folks, or is it just so cheap they can't turn it down because it's expensive, say, elsewhere in the Bay Area?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I mean, a lot of people are telling me that this is, you know, a cheap way for them to live. And I mean, like, that's actually, you know, a lot of them, some of them are full-time artists and some of them are, you know, teachers, social workers who like to do their art too and want to maintain that lifestyle. And, you know, I mean, I don't really see a lot of people raising children in these warehouses, but if you're like single in your 20s and 30s and can kind of hack it, you know, they are cheap and affordable, and you know people like to live together with kindred spirited folks, yeah, and turn the building into part of their art projects. You know, like, they like to host shows and have parties and yeah, build things. And so I can definitely, I think it's easy to see the appeal from the outside, even, you know.
Jeez, anybody tell you that they might be rethinking their living arrangements after what happened?
Well, they took down, almost as soon as we found the place, they took down their social media page and stopped advertising their live events. Oh, and okay. I did eventually get a chance to talk to the person who runs the building, who described the name Death Trap as unfortunate.
Yeah.
It sounds like it was kind of like an ironic joke that now has extremely tragic and horrible connotations. I would imagine they're trying to distance themselves from this name and this image. But I mean, you know, it's going to take a lot. Like, I've heard anecdotally from a lot of people in these warehouses that, hey, you know, like, the city hasn't always cracked down on them. And a lot of the changes that they would have to make to be completely fire safe are very expensive. Sprinkler systems are extremely expensive to install. I'm not sure. I'm sure that most of this would fall on the landlord, but I mean, I don't know if the landlords are necessarily doing their part to the upkeep of the buildings.
Thanks, Rachel. Rachel Swan, reporter at the San Francisco Chronicle. 15 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. With the holidays almost here, you don't have time to go to the post office. It will be packed with everyone mailing holiday gifts and packages. I have a great solution for you, Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can avoid all the hassle of going to the post office during the busy holiday season. Everything you would do at the post office, you can do right from your desk. You can buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. Print postage for any letter or package the instant you need it, then the mailman picks it up. It's so easy and so convenient. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's stamps.com and enter the code DEAL. Thanks for being with us. The presidential vote recounts are getting bogged down by legal wrangling. For example, Michigan's recount suddenly appears in doubt after a state appeals court said yesterday that Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate, is disqualified from demanding a second look at the votes because of her poor showing on Election Day, although the recount continues there. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
In addition to Michigan, the future of a statewide recount effort in Pennsylvania will now be determined on Friday at the earliest, when a federal judge has scheduled a hearing. President-elect Donald Trump narrowly defeated Democratic rival Hillary Clinton in those two states, plus Wisconsin, which started its recount last week. The recounts are not expected to change the result of the election. Ms. Stein, who received about 1% of the vote in those three states, has suggested, with no evidence, that votes cast were susceptible to computer hacking. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. 21 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a strong earthquake has rocked Indonesia's Aceh province. The quake killed nearly 100 people and sparked a frantic rescue effort in the rubble of dozens of collapsed and damaged buildings. Army officials say at least 97 died while 4 people have been pulled from the rubble alive. Congressional Republicans have unveiled a stopgap spending bill that would also expedite the likely confirmation of President-elect Trump's pick for defense secretary next year. Word of the bill came around the same time that Trump formally announced at a rally in North Carolina. He had selected retired General James Mattis for the top Pentagon job.
He led an assault battalion in Operation Desert Storm. And you saw what that happened. That was the way you're supposed to lead it. There was no games. Mad Dog plays no games, right?
Under current law, Congress would need to pass legislation next year to grant Mattis an exemption from a law that requires a 7-year wait for former members of the military to serve in the post. Trump's transition team says the president-elect sold all of his stocks in June, but provided no proof of the transactions. The announcement came yesterday after Trump said the government should cancel its multi-billion dollar order with Boeing for new Air Force One presidential planes. Asked on a conference call whether Trump had investments in Boeing, spokesman Jason Miller said the president-elect had sold all of his stock in June. Texas A&M University students and activists protested against a speech by white nationalist Richard Spencer, who was filmed at a conference last month saying "Hail Trump," drawing Nazi-like salutes from some spectators. About 1,000 demonstrators waved flags, marched, and sang songs outside the student center where Spencer was speaking, as state police and riot gear stood by, blocking them from entering. The university says Spencer was invited to the campus by a former student. Anything to grab your attention. NBC is airing the musical Hairspray live tonight, and some of the commercials will be live too, as the network hopes to keep you in front of your TV during commercial breaks. Toyota will air a live commercial in the 60s setting of the musical, featuring the 2017 Corolla alongside a 50-year-old model of the car. And Ready Whip will be featured in a musical commercial choreographed by the Hairspray live team and cast members.
Wow. So the commercials are going to be live.
Not just the show. This is a new thing.
All right. That might be worth a look.
Yeah.
Just to see what might go wrong.
Yeah. That's why people will watch.
All right. I admit it. 23 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. The hot toy this holiday season that has parents across the world competing with each other for it is called Hatchimals, an interactive furry creature that hatches out of an egg and grows up before your eyes. More from New York Times reporter Rachel Rabkin Peachman. Rachel, explain what's going on.
Everyone is in a frenzy to find this hot holiday toy, this furry robotic toy that hatches out of an egg that children play with and get to watch come out in front of their eyes. And they are flying off of shelves, and people are lining up in stores to get them. They are selling for nearly 3 times or more than 3 times their price, so they're a hot commodity.
Wow. All right, so where are they from? Who makes them? And I don't know, what do they cost? What do they do?
Sure. They are made by Spin Master, which also makes Etch-A-Sketch and Zoomer. They retail for $59.99, which is not cheap, but is now being sold on eBay and Amazon for as much as $250 or more. And the toy is meant to really grow in front of the child's eye as you interact with it. It evolves. So kids tap it, burp it, warm the egg, and entice it to pop out of the shell. And then after the toy is hatched, they can continue playing with it and help it grow from a baby toy to a toddler toy to a full-blown kid Hatchimal.
No kidding. So how did it become such a hot commodity this holiday season?
That's anyone's guess. Toy experts say that this kind of frenzy is very hard to predict. It definitely starts with a toy that is innovative and cool, but what makes it explode like this is often just timing, luck, in this case, fantastic marketing.
Wow. All right, so I know you said, too, they're having trouble keeping up with demand. Is that like in quotes, like what Apple does sometimes with the iPhone and you're afraid you're going to miss out, or is there an actual shortage?
Based on my conversation with people at Spin Master, this seems to be for real. They did not expect nearly this big a response. They were anticipating a good launch, and they thought they had enough stock, and this is beyond their expectations. So what they're doing to try to meet the demand is they are air freighting the product from their factories in China, which they refer to as nurseries. So they're air freighting them as opposed to sending them by sea in the hopes of getting as many of these on store shelves before the holiday season is over.
Thanks, Rachel. Rachel Rabkin-Peachman from the New York Times. By the way, the reliable news site TMZ has Shaquille O'Neal saying Toys R Us has those Hatchimals. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When you're opening a new office location, but deadlines don't let up, you need to make sure your team can start working fast, which means all of a sudden, you're looking to buy new conference tables, chairs, laptops, and whiteboards quickly. Business cards from American Express Open can give you buying power to help cover the big purchases you need to make when you need to make them. Find out how American Express cards and services can help prepare you for growth at open.com.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. On this Wednesday, December 7, Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. 75th anniversary of Pearl Harbor today. Deadly earthquake in Indonesia. After a meeting with President-elect Trump, the head of SoftBank in Japan says it'll invest $50 billion in startups in the U.S. with a target of creating 50,000 jobs. Instagram will soon allow you to filter comments and followers in order to curb abuse. Cheerleading and Muay Thai could soon be in the Olympics. And the Pearl Harbor vet who traveled the furthest for today's ceremonies. That story in about 20 minutes. Here's another angle of the Great Recession that won't be felt for several more years. So many people were caught up in the stress of the financial crisis several years ago that they got away from, you know, bow chicka wow wow. Now, Wall Street Journal reporter Doug Belkin says the sharp decline in births during that period will result in a fall off in the number of students graduating from U.S. high schools, something that will affect colleges and employers. Doug, what's up here?
There'll be a pretty significant decline in the number of kids coming out of high school around 2025, 26, and that'll last for a number of years. It's a direct result of people having less babies during the crash, during the Great Recession, and in the immediate aftermath.
Wow. All right. So what does that mean, then, if in 10 years or so we're facing this? I would imagine there's a trickle down to the workforce in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. I mean, this has a lot of implications down the line. So what's happening is sort of who's graduating and the number of graduating are both changing. There's going to be a lot fewer people graduating, a lot fewer young people graduating, and the demographics of those people will change. So there's going to be more Hispanics graduating from high school and fewer white people graduating from high school. And that's important because traditionally Latinos have not gone to college in the same numbers that white kids have.
Oh, yeah.
So from the perspective of the universities, they're challenged now to fill their classrooms, and they're really pushing hard to make sure that they get enough kids, you know, to fill freshman class. If there are fewer kids who traditionally have gone to college, they're going to have to reach out more to the Hispanic kids to get them into school and to keep them into school. And that's going to matter in the workforce because almost all of the jobs that have been created since the recession are for folks who have some education, some tertiary education. So the workforce needs people who have some additional education, and the universities need them to stay afloat. So they're just going to have to be more effective at moving people through the pipeline.
Wow. All right. How might colleges respond to this? I mean, I think it's clear what they might have to do, but are they capable? They seem so resistant to change at times.
So this is, if you look in California and in the Southwest, they're ahead of the head of the demographic curve, and they're dealing with this now. So I interviewed the president of University of Laverne, which is a private school in California, which went from 24% Hispanic to 50% Hispanic in 15 years. So they've dealt with this demographic shift, and they just do a lot more to meet the kids where they are. So a lot of these Latino kids, their parents haven't gone to school, which means that they're not familiar with some of the basic stuff that kids whose parents have gone to school understand, like filling out the FAFSA, what it means to live in a dormitory, really basic things. And so they try to meet those kids where they are and answer those questions even before they've applied to sort of bring them along.
Well, we're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Doug Belkin. His story is called Supply of High School Graduates is Expected to Fall. Well, you mentioned California, but you also say the overall decline in high school grads will also be felt intensely in Midwestern states like Michigan and Illinois, and then in the Northeast, Maine and New Hampshire. Why is that?
This is part of a demographic shift that's been happening for a long time in the country. The population centers are moving south. So right now, the south between essentially Texas and Maryland has around a third of the high school graduates, and that's going to move to almost half by 2030. So there's just going to be more growth in the south and less growth, actually a lot of shrinkage in the Midwest and the Northeast. So that has obviously consequences for politics, the economy, higher education, kind of everything.
Wow. So for the school that you mentioned before that's made adjustments, what are things like once the kids get on campus? Because I assume that's kind of an ongoing process.
So the retention rates for the Latino students are better than the kids, the student population at large. So they're doing something right. And one of the things that the president said they do is they meet the they invite the parents onto campus frequently. And this is just part of the Latino culture. They're very family oriented, so they want to see their mom and dad, and their mom and dad want to know what's going on, and their brothers and sisters want to be there and be a part of. Yeah, it's not like you go away to college and you don't see your family until you come home for Thanksgiving or Christmas break. That's changing.
The visits are fine, right? But just don't become one of those helicopter parents the colleges just pull their hair out over. Thanks, Doug. Wall Street Journal reporter Doug Belkin. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, as President-elect Donald Trump continues to make news seemingly every day with his tweets, his opponent is firmly in the lead for a 2016 Twitter award. A tweet by Hillary Clinton the morning after Election Day has been retweeted nearly 636,000 times, making it this year's most shared U.S. tweet and the third most shared overall, according to Twitter. The tweet was a closing statement from Clinton's concession speech, a message to all the little girls who might have been watching the election. Clinton also has command of the second most shared political tweet, earning over 550,000 retweets for her delete your account response to Trump's criticism of President Obama's endorsement of her in June. Trump did take the third spot, though, for his tweet on Election Day morning that said simply, in all caps, "Today we make America great again."
Mm.
And who got the last laugh there?
And the hashtag MAGA, make
right.
America great again.
Yes, yeah, yes. Twitter awards, unfortunately, not going to make Hillary Clinton feel any better, I don't think, about the results of the election.
Yeah, well, I mean, that speaks volumes, I guess, about one, how much people paid attention.
Yeah.
The role of social media.
Yes.
And the intensity of this particular race in that Trump and Clinton would have the top three tweets right in certain categories.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, that's pretty much all we were talking about, right? For several months there. And Gordon, a Texas man's pit bull puppy named Pablo is being applauded on Twitter, speaking of Twitter, for attempting to clean up after himself after having an accident on the floor.
First of all, this is good so far, because he had a pit bull puppy named Pablo.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that already.
Yeah, yeah, I think that was some good naming. A photo posted on Twitter shows the scene where the puppy's owner comes home to find that Pablo couldn't hold it in, but then appears to have used a roll of toilet paper to try to clean up after himself. The owner said that Pablo Lowe's in the process of house training and perhaps may have learned from watching his owner clean up his accidents with toilet paper.
I see.
Now, we're going through this at my house. We have a brand new puppy that is training and unfortunately has not cleaned up after herself as of yet.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, she prefers the rug, which of course is much harder to clean up after yourself. We have we were joking about this last night. We have a whole lot of rugs in our house that are going to be hitting the dumpster as soon as this puppy finally is housebroken.
Yeah, this should be a special place for those dumpsters for carpets that have been ruined by pets. Got a few of those of my own.
Yeah, I should get a discount, I think, perhaps at the home improvement store when I have to replace.
Right. The one big dog we have?
Yeah.
Never had an accident in her whole life.
Mm-hmm.
The little dog, it was like 2.5 years of training.
Yes.
It was just, I mean.
Well, you notice, I think about the little dogs, they're smaller, the bladders, maybe they're smaller. It's a little harder for them, I think. That's what I'm telling myself anyway. I have a small dog as well.
What are you, small dog defense attorney? Small dog advocate?
That's I convinced myself that the puppy was a good idea.
14 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Everyone knows that business is all about numbers. Consider the numbers the state of Michigan can offer your business, like Michigan being one of America's top 10 states for business. Or 2000, the number of burdensome regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6, Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climates, which all adds up to the one state that has all that and more. Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. Hey, glad you're with us. Time now for a health and wellness update, and it's brought to you by Rite Aid. Get your flu shot at Rite Aid today. Free with most insurance plans. Age restrictions apply in some states. See your Rite Aid pharmacist for details. Drivers who skimp on just a couple hours of sleep nearly double the risk of a crash, making drowsy driving about as dangerous as drunken driving. That's according to a new report from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety. USA Today says a review of thousands of crashes resulting in injuries found drivers were 1.3 times more likely to be involved in accidents if they missed an hour of sleep, and 1.9 times more likely if they missed 2 of the 7 hours recommended daily. By the way, about a third of U.S. drivers get less than 7 hours of sleep each night. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Fortin investigators believe a refrigerator or other electrical appliance may have caused the fire at a warehouse in Oakland that killed 36 people. Mayor Libby Schaaf says the city had received complaints about the building.
Permitted use for the warehouse is as a commercial space. It was not permitted for residential use nor public assembly use.
The warehouse had been converted to artist studios and illegal living spaces, and former occupants say it was a death trap of piled wood, furniture, snaking electrical cords, and only 2 exits. President Obama's touting the progress the U.S. has made in the fight against terror, warning that the threat will continue. Speaking to service members at MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa, Obama outlined how his core convictions on national security guided his policies in Iraq and Afghanistan.
We have been able, during these 8 years, to protect our homeland, to strike crippling blows against terrorist networks, and fortify our friends and our allies.
In his final national security address, the president said the U.S. is and must remain the strongest fighting force the world has ever known. The white man who authorities say wanted to start a race war by killing 9 black people in a South Carolina church is getting ready to stand trial in a city already bruised by a former police officer's racially charged murder trial that ended in a hung jury this week. Jury selection and opening statements are set for today in Dylann Roof's federal death penalty trial. If you have holiday shopping left to do, you have to be strategic. Foursquare has analyzed store foot traffic and has some tips for you. If you're looking for cosmetics, Monday around noon is the best time to buy. Monday evenings is best for clothing, jewelry, and liquor purchases. Thursday is the quietest day at bookstores, as well as the best day to purchase beer or to go to the hardware store. On Friday, visit big box retailers during the day and toy stores in the evening. Sunday morning, best for discount stores. The worst time to shop for just about anything, not surprisingly, Saturday.
I also find that the worst day for shopping is any day of the week that ends in D-A-Y.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, also a struggle for me.
Scrooge.
Thanks for the advice. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Glad you're with us. Few of the remaining survivors gathering in Hawaii this week to mark the anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor have journeyed farther than Robert Coles. The retired U.S. Navy seaman traveled more than 5,000 miles from his home in Matthias Main, story from the Wall Street Journal. At 92, it's his first visit since he was stationed there 75 years ago. Mr. Coles is one of the youngest survivors, having enlisted in the Navy in 1940 while still a high school senior in New York City. When he deployed to Pearl Harbor a few weeks before the attack, he was given the choice of three ships for his assignment, including the USS Arizona. But he didn't like that one because he said they blew bugles through the PA system. Instead, he chose the destroyer USS Bagley, which escaped heavy damage. Wanted to be a radio man, but said he was assigned seaman duty because he scored poorly on a test about the Morse code. He went on to serve in 17 naval battles. Served until 1970 and raised four children, and ran a lawn mowing business in Maine until retiring a few years ago. He's there in Hawaii for ceremonies today in the next couple of days. Thank you for your service, sailor. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Thanks for listening, and we'd love to hear from you. Leave a review and comment for us on iTunes. For more from This Morning Show, check us out at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.